Thanks for tuning into the ES First podcast. We'd love to connect with you on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter. So take a minute to hop on over and give us a like or a follow. And of course, if you're ever in Excelsior Springs, stop on by. We can't wait to welcome you home.
Good morning, everybody. How you doing today? I'm excited about the end of the year and the beginning of the year. We'll say that. How's that sound? Been a good week so far with Christmas and into the new year, and I am excited that you're here today on this frozen chosen day. This negative was it negative ever? See, everybody's complaining like the last few days. Oh, it's 7 degrees. It's 11 degrees. I just came from a place that was negative 16. Negative 16 degrees, people, on a day we should be celebrating the Savior's birth. Doesn't seem right at all. But I'm excited that it's a little warmer here than it was there, but I'm not excited that it was cold again. So if anybody could pray back that 30-degree weather we had the other day, that'd be awesome. And I'll make some barbecue for you. How's that sound? But anyway, it's been a great a week from Christmas to New Year's, and we are setting up for the new year. 2018 is a time where we are going to move into a lot of new territory for ES First, but also we start off with a tradition here at ES First. It's called the 21-day fast, and what that means, this is our seventh annual 21-day fast. We started in 2012 as our first one ever, and we fast for 21 days. So I want to talk to you a little bit about that today, and I want to talk to you about some practical sides of it, and then also the nuts and bolts, but also some testimonials and what it can do for you. Because some people hear fast and they hear 21 days and think, I'm going to starve to death. Anybody think that? Everybody here is like, no, I don't think that. Okay, well, the first time I heard it, I was like, I'm going to starve to death, right? I was up at 2 o'clock in the morning shoving cucumbers in my mouth. I mean, I was doing crazy stuff. I thought I was dying. But in fact, I wasn't dying. And as over the years, I've grown a lot, and I've become more adept to what it means to be a faster, not just fasting for because everybody else is doing it, or not just fasting because I think it'll do some magical thing, but actually pinpointing and focusing my fast down to aligning my year in this first 3 weeks of the year, and taking some time to really focus on God and what He wants for my life, and to hear His voice clearly, and to move forward in a way that makes a difference for the entire 52 weeks. So take 3 weeks, give them to God, and 52 weeks will change. I guarantee it. So I want to talk to you about fasting, and we're going to talk about the Daniel fast. It's a little bit different than most of fasting that you heard about, but I'm going to give you the context, and we're going to start from there. Are you ready? All right. Daniel 10 and verse 2 says, at that time, I, Daniel, mourned for 3 weeks. I ate no choice food, no meat or wine touched my lips, and I used no lotions at all until the 3 weeks were over. This is one of my favorite verses in the Bible, because this says that lotion is a very viable thing. Touch your neighbor on their hands and say, you need some lotion, but not for 3 weeks. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this fast. We thank you for this time where we get to focus on you and to become all that you have dreamed us to be little by little. Lord, I pray that you would stir our hearts. Lord, you would speak to us in such a way that we clearly have a direction on what we're supposed to do and where we're going to go and how we're going to do it. In Jesus' name, amen. So Daniel fast. There's lots of different fasting in the Bible. Fasting at its core is abstaining from food for a spiritual purpose. Now, a lot of people have a fast. You can go search fast, and you'll find all sorts of Hollywood diets where people drink cayenne pepper and apple cider vinegar and all sorts of stuff to make themselves healthy. And trust me, at the end of 21 days, you will be a lot healthier. You'll be way different than when you started. And if you don't believe that, just take some notes. Just take some notes about your life day by day. And when 21 days gets done, physically, you'll be way different. But it's not just abstaining for food or taking certain foods out of your diet. It is actually setting aside certain pleasures to focus on God. It's abstaining from food for a spiritual purpose. And what happened in Daniel is that Daniel was praying for his nation. It says he was mourning, but he wasn't just sitting around feeling sad. he was actually praying that God would intervene for his people while they were captured and taken basically captive by a whole other nation. And he was fearing for his people's life, and he was moved to a certain direction for God to take action. I wonder when the last time when you got really desperate for God to do something in your life. I wonder when the last time was you prayed for something longer than a day, longer than an hour, longer than 5 minutes. You actually got serious about what God was capable of doing and would he do it in your life. Fasting is you getting serious about God doing something in your life. And so our whole society is not really based on sacrifice. What we call sacrifice is not really sacrifice at all. You want to know how I know? When I start saying something like 21-day fast, people are like, oh, I don't know if I can do that. But I'm like, hey, would you give $5? Like, yeah, well, I'd totally give $5. I'd give $20. Oh, $100, that would hurt. I'd give $100. But would you give 3 weeks of your life? I can't do that. I can't give up my. And we just go right down the line about all the things that we can't give up. But actually what happens is when we begin to get desperate for God to answer, he sees us on the outside doing something that reflects our inside. As a matter of fact, you could fast for 21 days and you could just be healthier. You could maybe kick some habits. You could set aside food and not grow any closer to God. Did you know that? But it's important to know that when you fast, you have to know that you're not just setting aside food in hopes that God will respond. You're actually setting aside food in expectancy that God will do something and show up in your life. So Daniel, he fasts more. He says mourn for 21 days because what happens is he starts praying and he sets aside. He says, I'm not going to stop doing this thing, which is setting aside food, certain group of food, he says, until I get an answer. And what happens is 21 days later, he gets an answer. An angel shows up at his doorstep and tells him, on the first day that you decided that you were going to get desperate and fast was the day that I was sent to be your answer. The angel shows up and tells him this. And he says, the problem was, in between here and there, I got caught up in some spiritual warfare with other angels. Now, that's really deep stuff. But if an angel stands before you and says, I have come to be the answer, you'd be like, wow, God is amazing, not knowing that there are other forces that are trying to hinder your answer. And the way that those things were beat was by Daniel fasting. And 21 days later, the angel shows up. I wonder what kind of things in your life God has already sent an answer for, but you stop contending for. You stop battling for. You stop working towards. Instead, you're just like, well, I guess it was God's will that I didn't receive those things. I guess it was God's will that he didn't show up in my life, not knowing that if you got a little bit serious, if you started to fight in the battle with the angelic host, if you started to kind of get desperate for an answer from God, that things would change based on your battling through fasting. Now, that's pretty deep for a, you know, last day of the year kind of sermon, right? But this is the kind of stuff the Bible talks about. So this is what we're doing when we fast. Now, during this fast, what we're going to do is a Daniel fast. And it's based on the book of Daniel. First fast that they did was they ate only fruits and vegetables. And this was for a 10-day period. It was earlier on. Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were taken captive. And they were coerced into being representatives for the king. And so the king said, I want to make sure that these boys eat like we eat. I want to make sure that they grow healthy and strong. And so the guys come, the representatives come to him and say, we're going to make sure that you eat the way the king wants you to eat, the king's meats, the king's pleasures, all that stuff, so you can grow nice and healthy. And Daniel says, that's really against who we are. As a matter of fact, we need to eat a specific diet based on what God wants to do and has asked us to do in our lives. And so he says, I can't let you do that because if you do not look healthy and strong and like the king wants you to look, then he'll kill me. He says, I tell you what, how about you let us eat our diet the way that we want to eat it, and at the end of 10 days, you just see who is healthier and stronger. So they ate only fruits and vegetables for 10 days, and at the end of 10 days, they looked healthier and stronger than all of the king's men. Pretty cool, huh? And so this Daniel fast, that's the first part of it. The second part of the Daniel fast is that Daniel set aside choice things. Okay, see, I'm warned. I said, I didn't let wine touch my lips. So some of you winos, sorry. I'm not talking about that. Right? No choice wine, no choice meats. And he says no pleasant foods. And so a Daniel fast is basically this. It's fruits and vegetables. And that includes beans. People are like, what about legumes? Like, to me, those are vegetables, okay? So those count. They're all vegetables, right? No meats, no sweets, no bread, no dairy. 21 days. No meats, no sweets, no bread, no dairy. This means you can also take out things like caffeine, soda, coffee, tea, sports drinks, alcohol. All of those things that are not considered or that are considered pleasant things, right? You just take those out. 21 days, fruits and vegetables, eat as much as you want. So there's lots of different types of fasting, but this is basically what a 21-day fast, a Daniel fast, consists of. So I want to talk to you a little bit about what fasting is. I want to give you some testimonials, and then we're going to talk some practicality, and then I'm going to let you sign your life away. Does that sound good? Anybody excited about this already? A little giddy? Okay, here we go. So, when I'm fasting, I'm expecting a collision of heaven and earth. You hear me talk about this a lot, but the disciples came to Jesus and said, how are we supposed to pray? How are we supposed to pray? And Jesus says, pray this way. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God's will is done in heaven. It's not always done on earth. So a lot of times we want to say, well, if God wants it to happen, it'll happen. How has that worked for you? If you ever believe that way, how has that ever worked for you in the past? Maybe 50-50, maybe 25-75, maybe 10-90, right? Not so good. Because what happens is we begin to just engage based on whatever happens, happens, right? Instead of getting serious really about what God wants in our life. How about salvation? If God wants to save me, he'll save me. Doesn't work that way. God wants you to be saved, but you have to engage in order to receive a gift. So in the same way, through prayer and expectancy, what happens is we begin to engage God that says, I want your heaven to invade my life. I want your presence, your power, your miracles to invade my life, God. And when we begin to fast, what happens is we make space for God to do that. It's a collision of heaven and earth. So what happens when I pray, when I fast, is I am praying with faith. I am praying with intensity. With intensity. Isn't it easy to just kind of pray nonchalantly? But to really get serious, fasting is praying with intensity. Praying with sincerity. Praying with sincerity. And praying with expectancy. So I'm going to read a few testimonials about the fast of the past from a few different people. And I want you to just hear them. And I want you to kind of think about what your life could be like if you were to believe God like this. Here we go. So here's the first one. It's from Sarah Noble. Noble, if you're from the right part of the country. And she kind of rambles, so I'm going to read it straightforward. Here it goes. The 2016 Daniel fast was the first fast I successfully completed. Now, if you tell her, this is funny, like I know all this stuff about her past fast, but the first time in 2012 when we talked about fasting, we're like, hey, it starts, you know, is it today or tomorrow, something like that. She was like at the grocery store buying soy everything for her family. And she was like, my kids won't eat any of this stuff. My family won't eat any of this crap. It's like, because I think you did it a little bit wrong. Like, just because you eat vegetables doesn't mean you just go replace it with vegetable substitute stuff. Okay. And then I think it was like the first week, I think they're like Saturday, they're like, you know what? We're done with this. We're just going to eat, ordered pizza, went all out. So this is the first, 2016 was the first fast that she successfully completed. I had worked in the beauty business for 14 years and was terrified to pursue a career in the field I had earned my degree in, which is a Bachelor of Applied Science in Criminal Justice. As far back as I remember, I have always loved serving people, so why not human services? I prayed faithfully for God to give me faith I needed to step out of my comfort zone. I stepped into my purpose blindly and trusted him. I prayed that God would throw something in my lap. She says, yes, those are the exact words I prayed. Anybody ever pray that? God, just throw something in my lap. Spiritual. So that I knew it was him. I'm a flashing sign kind of girl. A month later, a woman from church approached me about her daughter's agency was looking for 14 foster care case managers for a new contract, and they were willing to work with me even though I had no prior experience. Kind of sounds like a lap deal. I went in for the interview, and they felt that I'd be a real asset to the company. However, it was a state contract, and my resume had to be approved by the state, and they required previous experience. My director wanted me bad enough. He helped me reword my resume. He called me about a month later and said, you're never going to believe this. The state denied every single resume we sent without experience except yours. We'd like to offer you the position. I was hired on as a licensed worker, but when a couple of FCCM supervisors met me, they wanted me on their team. My supervisor was a not really good woman. It says terrible, actually. Terrible woman. Hallelujah. Bless her, Lord. And I wanted to quit every single day for months because of her. But I refused to allow her to drive me from my God-given purpose. I knew that God had put me in the position. Who else can take a lost and broken down drug addict from the bottom and rise her up to work with lost, broken down drug addicts on the daily basis? My God can. That's one. That's a good one. You should clap for that. Next one. Brad and Amy Jones. Brad and I have fasted several times with and without the corporate fast, meaning this 21-day fast that we do as a church, and then also separately. We only began fasting due to the ES First corporate fast, but continue to do it because of the power we have witnessed from it. Due to fasting, Brad and I have had God bless us in so many ways. He put a shield of protection over Capri when she should have been a stillborn baby due to knots in her umbilical cord. He healed Brad of lupus, an incurable disease, and gave us Delaney when we had been desperately wanting and just couldn't get pregnant. He stretched our finances further than they could have possibly gone, and so much more. Anytime Brad and I feel like we are in impossible situations, we turn to fasting and intense prayer. It has been amazing to see what God has done for us, and we're excited to see what he has planned for us with future fasts. That's the kind of overview, but you should just like listen to their story about Capri, and listen to their story about Delaney, and listen to their story about when Brad was like literally going to commit suicide because of the pain of the disease that he had. And then he was on a certain medicine that would make it feel better, but on that medicine, it messed with his liver, so he wasn't able to have kids. I mean, just like back and forth. So it's like, I feel better with this thing. They needed God to intervene. And just like, hey, stop him after church and say, tell me your story. Tell me your story. Let him get into it with you. So the next one, Josh and Ashley Lester. Both of our cars had broken down prior to the fast last year and would have costed us more to fix them than they were probably worth. Anybody been there? We were newlyweds and trying to buy a home, so buying two new cars was not an option. This was one of the things I prayed about during the fast, as well as being able to buy a house. After the fast, we were given two cars, and shortly after that, we're able to close on the house we wanted. And to top it all off, I was offered my dream job that I had applied for 2 years prior, and it fell through. Getting this job was a big deal because I had no college experience and work experience in this field, so applying was a shot in the dark. That's good stuff. Here's the next one. Kelly Anderson. This is her fast from last year, 2017. During the weeks before the fast, I began noticing homeless individuals walking around in the cold as I was driving around town, especially on my route to and from church. God put them heavy on my heart, and I fasted and prayed for ES First in our city to unite to help homeless people rise up out of poverty and oppression. Have you ever had, this is not part of the thing, have you ever had a dream that you're like, that doesn't seem any kind of way possible? Have you ever had God speak to you, believe for something that's like, I don't know how that would ever happen? This is what Kelly's dealing with. So she's like, she sees homeless people. She says, wouldn't it be great for ES First and the city to be able to unite in a way that they could minister to the homeless need? Missouri Project Homeless Connect came to town in February. This is less than a month after the 21-day fast. And ES First started attending their meeting. I was able to attend in March. I joined the outreach team and began looking for homeless individuals throughout our City Love outreach. Okay, so she kind of glazed over that. But here's what. Kelly notices people in January. God, would you do something about the homeless problem? And can we be a part of it? A month later, an organization comes to town and says, hey, we would like to do a homeless outreach in your town. We've selected you out of all of the cities in Missouri to come and do a homeless event this year. Right, you guys like cars and jobs better. Okay, but this is miraculous. Okay, think about this. Kelly fasts and prays 1 month, and the next month they get chosen for an event to happen for a specific thing. I've been in Excelsior Springs for almost 25 years, and I've never heard of anybody trying to do a homeless event. Most people would try to go to other places like Kansas City, St. Louis, maybe Springfield, other places that have a much larger population. And here they come and address an issue in rural America. So here it is. I met six individuals. So she starts going around looking for homeless people. This is what Kelly does. When I first took Kelly out to outreach to City Love, she wouldn't knock on people's doors. Like, I'd be like, hey, let's go. She's like, that one says no trespassing. We're not supposed to trespass. And I'm like, we're going. And so if you've ever went out with Kelly knocking on doors, like, she literally goes to places. If there was no trespassing, she, like, invites that as, like, an invitation from the devil to just go kick in the door. She hasn't kicked any doors in yet, but maybe soon. So, Kelly grows in her boldness for her ministry. Now, let's talk about this for a minute. Kelly starts going out and seeking for homeless people. When's the last time you chased down a homeless person? You just kind of hope they don't show up at your corner. When you're driving up, you have to, and then you're like, I don't want to look them in the eye. I don't look them in the eye. Kelly's hunting them down. And not just like on the street, like in the woods. She's trying to go find homeless camps. She's knocking on doors and saying, do you know any homeless people? This is pretty intense stuff. So she met six individuals the first month. She had some divine appointments and saw all of the homeless individuals that she met throughout the year at that event in the fall. She began praying for these people. She also met Jonas on the corner of Walmart. God basically gave me the courage, although she was shaking in her shoes, to approach him and pray for him at the Walmart gas station. Then he took me on a journey, one step at a time, until he had me praying for him on the wide open corner of Walmart, taking supplies to him at his campsite, stalking him. We won't put that on the recording. Stalking him until I couldn't find him. Until I could find him to invite him to church every Tuesday and Saturday. That means the day before church, she would go find him and say, where can I meet you to bring you to church? When's the last time you went out of your way to be a part of what God was doing in your life? Jeff and I were able to bring him to our fall revival and then to church with us several times. We got to know him and he became our friend. It was an honor and privilege to minister to him, watch him grow spiritually, find hope, love, and acceptance at ES First. He blessed us and helped us grow spiritually as we ministered to him, and we look forward to ministering to him in the future. My daughter and son-in-law recently gave me the best Christmas present ever, bags of supplies to deliver to the homeless in our community. Now, a year later, I'm ready to begin a ministry to the homeless in our community, something I never saw myself doing. If God puts something on your heart and an opportunity in front of you, take the first step, especially if it is out of your comfort zone. He will fill in every detail and give you the next step. There is nothing better than experiencing the fullness of God as you obey him in ministry. Wow. Thank you, Kelly, for sharing that. That's good stuff. people coming into a time of fasting is really kind of, it's outward. God's doing something inward, but it's really outward. It's like, what are you eating? What are you cooking? What are you gonna have for lunch? And it's all about like this outward thing, but God is not so impressed with the outward. He's really impressed and moved by what's happening inward. If you're flippant about your Daniel fast, if you're flippant, whatever you decide to fast, if you're flippant and just kind of like brush it off and, oh yeah, I guess I'm fasting. Oh yeah, I'm going to fast. Oh, this meal, I think I'll fast. And if you're just kind of flippant and you don't have a point of direction, then guess what? God doesn't really take that seriously. And when you're flippant, God is actually kind of flippant back. Like, he sees the intent of your heart. He knows what's outward and he knows what's inward. If you're flipping about your fast, you'll be flipping about your prayer life. And if your prayer life is flippant, I keep seeing flippant. That's a good word, isn't it? If your prayer life is just kind of on the side, if your prayer life is just something you maybe do, maybe don't do, you can probably expect that God will not show up in the ways that you're expecting him to show up. Most people are familiar with praying at some level. Most people are not familiar with sacrificial prayer. I pray that during this 21-day fast, your life grows into experiencing sacrificial prayer. So what kind of fasts are there? Let's talk about that real quick. Ready? And you guys are kind of like New Year's out, I think. We haven't even started yet. Are you ready? Okay, there we go. So the first one, the absolute fast. This is one for you, Jacob. No food, no water. Jesus, Moses, Elijah all did this for 40 days. No food, no water. Hallelujah. I don't suggest this unless an angelic being visits you at your bed and like touches your toe, like you're going to absolute fast. Like, I don't want to. It's like, yes, you are. I don't want to. Yes, you are. That's when you do that. Absolute fast. I would suggest this maybe for a meal, maybe for a day, something like that. I wouldn't suggest it for 40 days. Juice fast, only liquids. That includes water, juice, fruit juice, vegetable juice, and broth. So, for instance, what I would do, I would start off my 21-day fast with 3 days of liquids only. 3 days, liquids only. And I would come home at night, like, everybody's eating, or, you know, like, you're like, I got to do something. I would have broth. And, you know, as spiritual as I am, I would put, like, 4 packets of broth in that water just so, like, it feels like you have something in your mouth. Okay, it doesn't last long, right? It lasts maybe a minute or two, and then you get a lot of salt intake. It's good stuff. Okay, so that's a juice fast. A partial fast. There's lots of different ways to do a partial fast. No food sun up to sundown. Somebody try that one in the 21-day fast, okay? That's a lot of people that do that one, sun up to sundown, is like you come home, and the good thing is it's still kind of winter, so the day doesn't last as long. You come home, like, and it gets dark, and you're like, awesome, and you just gorge yourself all night. And the next day, you're like, oh, I'm going to eat again. It's kind of rough. I don't suggest this one unless you just think that you can't hang with the Daniel fast. And most people that have done this in the past, like the next year, like, I don't want to do that again. It kind of felt like I didn't get all out of it that I wanted to get out of it. Does that make sense? Okay, so the partial fast, sundown. Skip lunch. Skip lunch and dinner. So skip a meal or two. And then you would eat during your snack times. The awesome thing about when you don't eat at all, okay, is that you begin to feel like you're really doing something, right? So sometimes you eat vegetables and you're like, I don't really like these, but at least I'm eating something, right? When you like go the whole time and you eat nothing for like all day or all meal, you really feel like, man, I really gave up something, which gives you the opportunity to take a time out and pray. So like everybody else is going to lunch at work and you're like, I'm going to take this time, this lunch hour, and I'm just going to find a private place and I'm going to pray for an hour, right? So you commit yourself to prayer for an hour. If you skip lunch and dinner, that's 2 meals, and you just take lunch and dinner, that's 2 hours you could just take and go pray. Now, if you have kids, you have to cook hot dogs and macaroni and cheese and all that stuff, and like it's going to feel like you don't have that hour. So maybe that's not the best way for you to do it. But if it works for you, do it that way. And then the next one is Daniel fast. So fruits and vegetables, beans, no pleasant food, no meat. As simply, people ask me what it is this. No meat, no sweets, no bread, no dairy. Now, some people ask me, is rice a thing? Because what's going to happen is you're going to go on Google or whatever, and you're going to look up Daniel fast, and you're going to find all these recipes about how to do stuff. Most of them will include rice. People say, well, Daniel fast on the internet is rice. And blah, blah, blah. Okay, that's fine. What I try to do is I try not to make myself feel full. So what can happen is that you take a meal, and like normally you'd have mashed potatoes and steak and, you know, whatever for a meal, and you feel like, I'm so full right now, right? And you feel like okay to make it to the next meal. What happens is if I take vegetables and beans and rice and all stuff, I can make myself feel content again. Even though I didn't get to taste what I wanted to taste, I can make myself feel content. And I don't really feel the effects of fasting. Does that make sense? I don't have that constant reminder of, man, I'm doing this for a reason. Does that make sense? So rice is optional. I say if you can do it physically, don't do rice. Don't do rice. So I put that on there only for this reason, for those that want to cop out. So if you want to cop out, there it is. Okay. Are you ready? So, other instructions. Give up TV. What? It's playoff season, right? The good news is every year when we plan the fast, we always plan it so it doesn't fall in the Super Bowl. So you can eat as much crap as you want on the Super Bowl. You know, it's a vegetable Super Bowl party. So give up TV. You don't have to do this. It's just good. Okay, there's a lot of crap on there that you don't want to watch anyway. Give up social media. Give up pleasure reading. Give up sports. Put aside secular music. So those are some things you can do. I do not suggest doing the other things in place of the food thing. So what happens is people are like, oh, 21-day fast. You know, I prayed and God wants me to give up Facebook. Okay, well, that's good. You should give up Facebook. But you, at the end of 21 days, just being off of Facebook, you're not going to feel like, man, I really did something. You're going to feel like I did the bare minimum. You know what I mean? I mean like 42 pieces of flair on this fast, okay? Not the bare minimum. Some of you don't even know what that is. Go all out. Do something that you know is going to challenge you. So I would say if you cannot do it physically with eating, then do it other ways with social media, TV, all that kind of stuff. Trust me, it's hard, especially if you're a social media person, to like put away all sorts of social media. Right? You're addicted to it, whether you know it or not. Okay? It's hard to put away TV. You walk into a room and the TV's on and be like, turn that off. Right? But it's TBN, Mom. I don't care. It's the TV. It's hard. Okay? So decide what you're going to do. So I want you to take this information as far as like vegetables, fruits, all that kind of stuff. And I want you to decide, not decide, but you can decide one thing, but to ask God what he wants you to do and begin to write it down. So the way to a successful fast is to plan up front. So what's going to happen is you're going to like decide that you're going to do a certain thing, and then you're going to show up somewhere like to work and on, you know, a magical day, like, oh, we bought donuts for everyone. And you're like, ah, this must be a gift from God. Okay. I have friends that they fasted and if you need to eat out, like Chinese food is a great way to go fasting because you can go like, just give me the vegetable platter. Okay. And you'll go to some place. A friend of mine went to like P.F. Chang's or something like that, and they got the vegetable platter. They're all fasting, and they're trying to make the most of it. And like that day, like the chef was like sent like four plates of like food to their table, Like, the chef never does this, but he just wanted to, like, just give you guys these special things to try out. Right? If you don't decide ahead of time what you're going to do to be able to say, no, I'm not going to do that, then you're probably like, well, it's right here. Are we going to waste this? I mean, come on, right? Whatever you decide is going to be challenged to the greatest degree. Why? Because, honestly, the enemy does not like the fact that you're engaging with God. If he knows that he can't make you unsaved, he's going to make you ineffective. He's going to distract you with every kind of thing that he can distract you from to make your time where you said, this is God's, not God's time anymore. Not his fast anymore. Just something that you do outwardly, but you don't get time inwardly to really focus on God. So, in fasting, you'll receive a bunch of different things, but you'll receive answers to prayer. You'll receive healing mentally, emotionally, physically. People in your family receive healing. Relationships will be mended. Kids will come back to the Lord. Addictions will be broken. There's people that have been a part of this 20-day fast that stop smoking. You've been trying to quit smoking? Just try it. People have stopped drinking soda. Now, back in my days, when I first started this, like, I was like a cokeaholic. I'm a cocaine addict. I mean, coke addict. I drank like 4 to 5 44-ounce Cokes a day. And so it's the first thing people always say, like, I can't stop drinking soda. I'll get a headache. I did it. And so somebody said, when the 21-day fast is over, are you going to go back to drinking soda? It's like, you bet your lifesavers I am. It's like, I can't dishonor God by just having a lifestyle change. I got to go back. Right? But some people kicked it forever in a moment. They needed to be broken from something, and it broke. So I challenge you to set before God some things. When you decide what you're going to fast, make some decisions, make a plan, and stick with it. So let's talk about planning. Here you go. Number one, focus on your need. So write down 2 or 3 things. Actually, can I get the stuff to be handed out that's going to be handed out? I'm going to send around a worksheet to you. All right, so you have in your hand, first of all, a sheet, a vow sheet, a participation sheet, and then you also have a worksheet. So this worksheet has on it some information. So I want you to decide up front what you're believing God for. For me, 1 year I was believing God for a huge tax bill I had. I had about like $8,000 worth of tax bill that I came out of nowhere, and it was like, I wasn't expecting it. I was like, man, I had this like on a payment plan, and I was like, $7,000 or $8,000, what's going to happen? And I prayed for it during a fast. And I got a letter in the mail, and they were like, hey, you know, no more. And as a matter of fact, we're going to pay you $7,000. I'm like, hey, glory, okay? So those that have tax bills, fast for that junk, okay? Maybe you're fasting to get out of debt. Maybe you're fasting for your children. Maybe you're fasting for direction in your life in 2018. Be very, very specific. Maybe you're fasting for healing. Whatever it is, fast. And it can be more than one thing. I would say have like a top 3 and then have some secondary things. Okay, have some very specific things and then have some general things. And there it says affirmation. Affirmation is a way of phrasing the Bible in a way that affirms who God is in your life. Okay, so that would mean like this. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. So I take that verse and I go, God, I believe you. I know that you're pleased with my faith. That's an affirmation, right? I know that you'll never leave me nor forsake me. That's an affirmation using the word of God. So that's affirmation. I would encourage you to find a couple verses that you can believe on and put them in there so that you can stand, we call it standing on the word of God, believing on something. So put those in there. So the dates, we are going to start next Monday, not tomorrow, thank God, right? Next Monday, the 8th. And we'll finish on, I believe, the 27th. It's the Saturday, the 28th. Huh? Yeah, it's technically about 20 days, but because we're Jewish, we count differently. If you want to start tonight at sundown, that's technically the Jewish way they would fast, and it makes it 21 days. I'm sorry, the 7th at sundown, you can do that, and it would make it 21 days. We started on Monday morning instead of Sunday night. Okay? You need to have a prayer partner that you decide you're going to do this with. Check in with. If you're married, your spouse is a great first choice. He or she is lame. You just say, I'm going to find a different partner for this 21 days. Okay? So, decide what you're going to fast. Daniel fast. I'm going to fast television along with that. Facebook. Social media. Whatever it is that you kind of need to break from. All right? So, the Bible talks about not, being like, I'm fasting, right? And actually, Matthew chapter 6 and into 7 says, when you fast, he's like, you know, don't put oil on your body. Basically don't use any soap. Please use soap during these 21 days. But we're joining together as a corporate in a corporate fast, okay? So, like, you don't have to keep it private. We can talk to each other about it. But you don't have to go on bragging to everybody. Not that many brags, right? But it's easy to be like, I'm fasting. You don't have to tell someone, like, super secretive. It's okay to just be like, hey, I'm fasting, right? You don't have to be, like, private. Why are you not eating? Can I buy you lunch? I mean, if you need some money, what's the problem? And like, no, I don't want anything. You can just say, I'm fasting, and that'll shut them up real quick, okay? So you don't have to, like, spend all of your time. This is another huge error that happens, is that people spend all their time trying to figure out what to make. Okay? If this becomes like a culinary 21 days for you, we have a great milk substitute. Have you ever had cauliflower mashed potatoes? They are divine. Mmm, so good. Like, if it becomes like this whole thing where like, you have 21 days of, you know, the food channel, you're doing it wrong, okay? If you spend hours in the aisles at the grocery store trying to figure out what's on the label, you're doing it wrong, okay? Don't go there and be like, well, this says it has this and so. I'm gonna let you in on a secret. I use salad dressing. The Lord knows my heart, okay? I use salad dressing. I use sauces. So I use like teriyaki sauce. I use like some kind of like, so like cut up a bunch of vegetables, put them in a pan, and throw some of that sauce in there. Trust me, after 21 days of that, it's not that good. If I eat a baked potato, I use butter. Okay, I just do. Right? It's what I do. If you're a stickler, you can eat it dry if you want, all that stuff. All right, but I'm not splitting hairs. I'm just like, I'm doing what I feel like God wants me to do. I just set some guidelines. I'm going to do this, 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 and this. God, you can have the rest. And it makes it, first of all, it makes it something I can do without having to like put a bunch of work into like reading every label. Does that make sense? You don't want to have like going to McDonald's and being like, well, what's in that? I mean, you spent 25 minutes. You could be praying and moving on with your life, trying to figure out what's in what. Does that make sense? So that's just some things. The other thing is that you can get really judgmental and legalistic about what other people are eating and not eating. Right? I can't tell you how many times I hear, Brandon, she's eating. Brandon, he's eating this. Brandon, he was drinking a cup of coffee. He's like, I don't care. Like, I got better things to do in my 21 days than be the fasting police. Okay? Brandon, are we supposed to eat rice? Can we not eat rice? It's like, what did you tell God you was going to eat? Don't come to me talking about what you are going to eat, what you're not going to eat, anybody else. Like, you just decide what you're going to eat. You tell God about it, and I guarantee you he will honor it. I guarantee you he'll honor it. Don't let somebody else bully you into what you should do or shouldn't do. Okay? Don't spend all your life, these 21 days, trying to figure out what you can eat, looking up recipes, all that stuff. You just make some basic stuff. Just go real basic. You know basic, trust me. Basic is easy. Just do that. And some people want to tell you all these different ways that they fast. Well, here's a different way to fast. Here's a different way to fast. Here's a different way to fast. And it's like, don't just keep trying to experiment and do something. Just decide what you're going to do and stick with it. Help me out with some music. I know that today is a pivotal day. I know with all my heart. I know that there's a reason that it's 6 degrees or 0 degrees and some people didn't show up today. I know that you that showed up today are here for a reason. Some people woke up and they were like freezing and they almost didn't come. Some people had some stuff happen this week and they don't want to like even be around people. And you're here anyway. Some people have stayed up late at night trying to decipher their life and where it's going to go. And you're not here in an accident. Some people have been battling strongholds in their mind for the last 36 hours, 24 hours, the last week. At the most pivotal time of year, when we can either give up and give in or reset and move forward. I know that every part of your life is aligned for this moment. And I'm preaching here to 130, 150 people. But I'm only looking for 10. 10 people that'll say, yeah, I'm going all out. People like Sarah say, this is the first year I completed the fast. Didn't give up. Has there been days where I broke down and just like, you know, went through the drive-thru and got whatever? Yeah, there are. Got back on the train. There have been days I didn't feel like this fast is stupid, it's not doing anything. Yeah. But I guarantee you, when you get a hold of it, commit to it, and decide you want to get desperate for God to show up in your life, about 10 to 15 people in this room, their lives will never be the same. I want you to make a decision to be one of those people. To move forward in such a way that God will do the impossible in your life. That you'll have the guts to invade homeless camps because you went through a 21-day fast. To fill out application for jobs that you do not even have any business applying for. To believe God for vehicles, homes, healing in your body, children, debts paid off. You believe God, the ES First would grow to be an incredible ministry, a place where people are transformed by the power and presence of God simply because we're here and people come. I know that God's presence can transform any situation. I know the truth of who God is can transform you into becoming everything he's dreamed you to be. The question is, will you embrace that truth and move forward with all diligence? Some of you are addicted to pills, drugs. Some are prescribed, some are illegal. Now's your time. Some of you are addicted to emotions. It's a cycle after cycle after cycle. It's something you keep running back to. Why does this keep happening to me? Why do I always live in this state? Why is it something every time pressure comes up, I run back to this place? It's going to be changed. It's fast. Some of you have illnesses, things you've been struggling with for so long. You think, why doesn't God heal me? This 21 days will be the moment where you push through the crowd and touch the hem of his garment, and he will transform your life forever. Some people are struggling with sin that they can't even get out. They can't even just say it out loud. Iniquity that you live in and you know it's not right. God is calling you out of that thing. It can be broken forever during a 21-day fast. I guarantee you that God wants more for your life than you're currently experiencing. So a 21-day fast is saying, yes, God, I want to experience everything that you have for me. If I'm the person that's standing in the way of you doing more in my life, change me. Change me. So in your hand, you have a vow. In the past, they were called participation forms. And I told Allie, I want to do it different this year. I want to say vow. Because you're not making a vow to me. You're not saying, I'm going to participate. You're not, I think I'll try it. It's you vowing to God to fast for 21 days. And so when Wednesday hits, Thursday hits, and you're like, I don't know if I can do this. You remember that you vowed to God. Not to the person next to you, not to a pastor in this church. But you vowed to God that you would do it. So if you take a moment, just write your name on there. Email address. You don't have to write it if you don't want to. I got one more week of talking about fasting. That's next week. And then we'll start. But today, if you want to make a vow to God, if you make a vow to God, God, I will fast to see your power, your presence, and your miracles in my life. Would you just stand up and bring that paper down to the front here and find a place to kneel and pray? Say, God, I vow to you to do this for your plan, your dream, your victory in my life. I'm going to pray, and then I want you to come. Heavenly Father, thank you for your presence. It's unlike anything else on earth. Thank you for your power. It's the anointing that breaks the yoke, that ties down. Thank you for your miracles, the miraculous that we are dying to see. We are desperate for you, God. We vow today to fast until we see the answer show up in our life. In Jesus' name.